Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to take a look at Venus's conjunction with Uranus in the sign of Taurus. Yesterday we took a look at the meaning of Venus and Taurus just on her own, and today we are going to take a look at Venus's conjunction with Taurus, and I'm going to tell you the three things I love most about Venus-Uranus contacts, whether they would be the square, the opposition, or the conjunction, doesn't matter too much. Just three things that I love about Venus-Uranus, and then three things I really hate about Venus-Uranus. And these will be both things that, you know, are personal and like, you know, my personal likes and dislikes about this transit, but also what I've observed in the lives of my clients and students over the years, and just, you know, fellow colleagues and fellow astrologers, and what we all seem to love about this transit versus, you know, what gets the better of us, or what we end up saying like, ooh, didn't like that part. I thought this would be a fun way of looking at it today. So that's what we're going to do. Before we get into it, as always, don't forget to like and subscribe. Share your comments and thoughts. I'd love to hear if you were born with Venus in square or opposition or something to Uranus. Tell us your story. Like, what is your experience of that transit or that birth chart signature been like? If you want to find a transcript of any of my daily talks, of course, on the website, nightlightastrology.com. Okay, let's take a look at the real-time clock and we'll remind ourselves of what the heck is going on here. Here we go. Get it queued up. All right, so we can see the conjunction of Venus and Uranus coming together in the sky Thursday, March 30th. Now, they're coming together in the sky is... nice because it's happening in Venus is in the evening star position where she likes to be in the western sky after dark. And Venus is also Venus is in her own domicile. So it's a very powerful, strong and honestly a lovely Venus at the moment. Uranus, of course, can make Venus's like normal expression really different. And so one of the things we want to look at today is, you know, what is the nature of Venus when you put it together with Uranus? We talked a lot about Venus and Taurus yesterday and kind of did a rewind episode and, you know, sort of looked at Venus in Taurus in a vacuum. Today, we want to take some of those meanings and now combine them with Uranus. So, like I said, I'm going to do that by telling you the three things that I love most about Venus-Uranus contacts and then the three things that I hate the most. So let's get into it. All right. So three things that I love most about Venus-Uranus. Number one, I'm going to love what I love. Now, there is a poem, and you guys have heard me read it before. It's by Mary Oliver, and it's called Wild Geese. I'm just going to bring it up right here. It says this. This is the poem but written by Mary Oliver. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things. Isn't that just beautiful? I absolutely love that. Oops, just one second. Something else I wanted to bring up. And what I love about that most is that Venus-Uranus, like that poem, says, just give yourself permission to be in love with whatever you're in love with. Let go of all the guilt and shame and the tripping out over whether it's appropriate or not to love what you naturally can't help but love. I think that there's something about that that is just so liberating. And in a sense, it is, you know, it exists in, it's an ideal world. Like, you know, we don't necessarily live in that world. But anyway, one thing I wanted to mention is that Mary Oliver was born with Uranus in the sign of Taurus. And she was born with a Venus trine to Uranus in the sign of Taurus. And she wrote that poem, you only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. This is my number one most favorite thing about Venus and Uranus, which is that there is a feeling of deep permission. And we don't even realize it. Like, I walked through my life for several years, part of, religious community that honestly, at times, not everyone in the community was like this. And certainly don't mean to, paint a black and white picture of an entire religious tradition, right? But part of the thing that eventually led me away from this religious path was the way of looking at the world and the body and the material material nature, and saying, control all of it because it's dangerous. And it would be foolish to think that it isn't dangerous, right? There's a teaching in the I Ching that comes to my mind. There's a favorite hexagram I have that's called conduct, or sometimes it's translated as the treading on the tail of the tiger. And it's kind of like this image of a sleeping tiger. And I'll just kind of translate some of the teachings of that hexagram in my own words. If you walk past the sleeping tiger carelessly and step on its tail, it'll wake up and devour you. Also, if you walk around that tiger and you're totally terrified, animals sense fear, and that could wake the tiger up and alert it to your presence, and it could also devour you. Or if you're afraid, it could make you careless, because being afraid makes you just as careless as, being careless. They can both put you into a state of ignorance, in other words. And what I love about Venus Uranus is that at its best, it says, just stop being afraid. Stop being afraid that you'll get it wrong, and start trusting what you love to lead you, that what you love is the means by which God reaches out through your own nature to communicate with you. The universe, God, whatever you want to call it, that the divine speaks to us when we move in a kind of helpless innocence and attraction toward what we love. There are obviously times when doing so without any, control or careful examination of our impulses could lead us into disaster, of course. But Venus Uranus is at its worst, maybe there's something on our list that we'll talk about later in the three things I hate about impulse control, but it's like, don't be so afraid. Trust what you love. Act mindfully. Don't act like a total idiot, but trust what you love to be your teacher, to be your guide. I find that with Venus Uranus, and I'm going through a Uranus Venus square in my chart right now, and I was born with one. And I have found time and time again in my life that if I go toward what I'm attracted to, whether it's a huge, slice of pizza on a corner shop in New York City. I remember when I was first teaching astrology, I had a little space in Chelsea, and I would be walking back to my apartment in the West Village, and corner pizza shop would catch my nose and my senses, and I would just go and get a slice. And there's a way that, you get that slice of pizza and, oh God, it feels so good. Why was I so worried? That felt great. Nothing bad happens at all. And in fact, you just got to enjoy a nice slice of pizza. And then, sometimes you go and you do that against your better judgment. You're really don't think I ought to do this. And then you get a stomach ache, or you get sick at night, or you end up feeling awful. You can't learn, though, unless you allow your attraction and desire body to lead you and to follow it, to be curious about what you love, to be open and allowant and tolerant and trusting that what you love is not just going to set you on fire and be your downfall, that it can purify you to pursue what you love, even when it turns out to have not been a great decision, or selfish or indulgent in some way, that still we learn from those things. And what's at stake? If we're eternal beings, should we really live in fear of these impulses and instincts? I mean, working with them doesn't mean running from them at the very least, right? So I'm going to love what I love. And that's my favorite part about Venus Uranus, how liberating that is. Number two, I'm going to experiment and explore. As an artist, there are periods of time where we outgrow the conventions of our own craft. As a writer, I know this. As an astrologer, I know this. And it comes time where you go, well, what if I try it in a different way and it doesn't work? Or, you know, like how many times I remember when I started my YouTube channel and I was like, what if I stop writing daily content and I start making videos, what if people stop watching? And then like this thing that I've built, that's a part of how I sustain my living and I've got kids now, I got to pay bills. Like, what if people don't follow what I'm doing? Like they were my writing and then I don't, you know, and then it all falls apart. But I was so like, that was the evolution of my art. It was like, I want to make YouTube videos. And I know you guys can relate. Whatever your creative endeavors are, there comes a moment where you're like, I have to risk breaking my own mold creatively and just doing something different. What happens if I do that? Well, it's the same thing that I remember specifically being terrified to tell my wife that I was attracted to her. Well, good thing I risked that. And, you know, like, okay, well, and you guys can relate too. Haven't you ever just taken the risk of telling someone you were attracted to them? And in your head, you thought, well, if I say something and get rejected, it's going to hurt so bad. Well, yeah, but you know, nope. what, you know, when has there ever not been like, when has there ever been like no risk associated with the things that we love? It's funny, you know, my daughter the other night, we were laying in bed talking. We have like these daddy-daughter philosophy talks. Sometimes I record parts of them because I just want to remember them. And she was asking where words come from. Like, where did anyone ever come up with this word or that word? And then I said, well, do you think that language has always existed? Or do you think people like made it up or discovered it? Or like, where do you think it comes? So she said, well, I think that people made it up. And I go, oh, yeah. And she goes, yeah, because like the word hangry didn't always exist. That's like a new word that people made up. It means like hungry and angry. And I was laughing. I was like, yeah, that's a really good point. I was like, well, what about music? You know, music was always, do you think music was made up? Or do you think it's like a language that's always there? And she goes, no, that one was always there because, you know, like tweet, 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 like the birds, they're just singing, or like the wind, it just makes music. It's just like there. And I said, but don't people make up different kinds of music? And she was like, well, you know, she basically articulated for a seven-year-old, you know, she basically said, well, they're just using music in different ways. Everybody uses the music in a different way. I think that we tie so much of our creative identity to how we're using things as though they are ours to begin with. My music, you know, my creativity. But really, whatever medium we're using is just like the music and the wind. And finding ourselves is so much a matter of how we choose to evolve and change our relationship with the mediums that of communication that are around us, you know, creatively, whether you're a musician or a writer or an astrologer or whatever, there comes a time where you say, there's something about me that's missing. And I think this might even be unconscious. There's something about me that's missing. And there's no way that I can really find that part of me unless I change the way that I'm speaking or using the different things in my life. I got to play my flute, you know, differently. I got to strum my guitar differently, different chord progressions, or sometimes it's your dress. It's like, I need to wear something, different colors. I need to put on different, you know, a different costume, so to speak. Well, the material is all there. The colors already existed. It's as though it's so hard to know what a soul is, who we are. I always love that quote from Heraclitus that the soul is explored forever to a depth beyond report. And at the same time, character, the character of the soul, is a man's fate. Isn't that true? And don't you get like, I don't want to be stuck in the same fate. And so I need to explore myself, because the exploration of the self is liberating. How do you explore yourself if not clothing it in different things, if not expressing it differently? And that is, in my mind, mostly a Uranus-Venus dynamic, a kind of artistic quality. I'm going to experiment and explore, says Uranus and Venus. So that's my second favorite thing about Uranus and Venus. I'm going to experiment and I'm going to explore. One of the things that made me think of my daughter when I just brought her up was also the fact that both of my girls are just so creative. And I look at them and I just go like, when did I lose that? You know, do you know what I mean? Have you ever just watched kids play a little bit before? I mean, when you're not totally exhausted by them, if you have them, if you're ever in a good mood, if you're ever in a good mood and your kids are in the room, you're like, you just take a minute to watch them, you know, do their thing. It's a mode of consciousness. It doesn't have to do with the literal toys, the dolls, or the kinds of, you know, the particular imaginative acts or worlds that they create. It's a mode of consciousness, and it's still here for us now. I'm going to experiment and explore. Venus and Uranus is so game for exploration and play, especially because the soul needs to find something new about itself so that it doesn't get locked into the same old fate. Number three, I'm going to let loose. I think this is similar to I'm going to love what I love, but there comes a moment where you go, all right, I'm an asshole. I'm, you know, like I'm just so uptight, or I try to control everyone and everything, my spouse and my kids and myself and my own head and the cast of characters in my head. And I'm like, it's like a whack-a-mole game of trying to control every single thing around me. And all of a sudden you go, I'm going to go with the flow. I'm just going to let go and see where things, you know, how things flow along. I'm going to let loose. And this is one of my favorite things about Venus-Uranus dynamics, is just this playful sense of fuck it. Just fuck it. What am I doing? Can you guys relate? I don't care. It could be a Venus-Uranus statement too. What you think about me is none of my business. I'm here to play. I'm going to have a good time. And if you want to hate, it'll be part of my good time. Try and ruin it. You know, you can't, because I'm free. That should be, we should have like a sound effect that we just play that. I'm free. Anytime there's like a Uranus transit. All right. Three things I hate about Venus Uranus, because there are some. Me over we. All right, so let me give you an example. This is the affair transit. Uranus and Venus are like Neptune Venus, Uranus Venus, sometimes Pluto Venus. Yeah, I feel like Pluto Venus is less like an affair and more like you get really sexually, you get super enmeshed and like sexually obsessed with like some kind of subterranean creature. It's like the show You, you know, have you guys seen that with Penn Badgley? And it's funny because I think I've told you guys this before, but I worked with Penn in New York City when we did, he was a part of a theater show that I directed, and he told some stories about having worked with ayahuasca. And so I got a chance to meet him and work with him on his story, because I was the story director. And I'm an astrology geek, and so I was curious, and when I found out he was a Scorpio, I was like, and then, you know, later on, of course, seeing him in You, every time that I saw him in You, because I watched that season, I'm like, he's cast perfectly for a Scorpio. Anyway, so why am I even thinking that? Me over, or it's the affair transit, Pluto, and I'm Pluto, yeah. So Pluto and Venus together, they tend to be like, I'm in love with my stalker, or, you know, it's like real crazy shit. Venus Neptune is I'm in love with someone that isn't real. Venus Uranus is I'm in love with the person that I just eyeballed, you know, on vacation while I'm with my family, and, you know, I'm going to try to run off with them. And then, you know, hopefully I pull the plug before it's all like, it all goes down the drain. Actually, the reason I thought of that story is I had a client one time who had a Venus Uranus transit and was literally on a, like a cruise ship, and had this, you know, very intense love affair while on a cruise ship. Interestingly, when I was like 18, I guess, I was on a cruise ship with my father. It was just me and my dad, and I was on this cruise ship, and my father had, and I wrote about this in my book, so if this sounds like I'm just dropping some weird truth bomb, I've written about this publicly so the whole world knows. My father had an affair, what was supposed to be like a father-son trip, long story, but he had an affair on a cruise ship with someone while he had a Uranus-Venus transit. So just that, like, prioritizing your selfish impulse toward immediate gratification and pleasure, even if you'll ruin a marriage, right? That's the most terrible part of Uranus and Venus, is that the urge to be free and to explore and to just pursue what you love. I mean, earlier you heard me say, I'm going to love what I love. Well, number one on three things I hate about Venus's Uranus is, when you love what you love, sometimes you can wreck your family. You can end up, you know, seriously damaging your relationships. And you can end up hurting other people because you have temporarily become blind to your own needs and desires at above anyone and anything else. And that's a problem. So I would say Uranus Venus is like the, yeah, it's like the picture of someone who decides to do something terribly reckless, and they're kind of like, screw it, I don't care, I'm just going to do what I want. And earlier you heard me say, like, we shouldn't be so afraid. There's a fine line though, because the flip side of Venus Uranus is that Venus and Uranus can be like, well, you know, I have prioritized the seeking and pursuance of my own liberty, freedom, joy, and pleasure above anyone and everything else, to the point where I've hurt people or burned bridges or really ruined good things in my life. So that's the downside of Uranus Venus. It can be terribly selfish. Number two, shock for the sake of shock. Now, this one to me is like, the desire or urge to be free and provocative, like, I'm going to explore, I'm going to experiment, all fine and dandy. And then there comes this point where you're doing things just to get a reaction from people, almost like you're still sort of entangled with what other people think about you. You remember how I said earlier that there's kind of a, I don't care what anyone, I don't give a damn, you know, like, I don't care what you think about me. What you think about me is none of my business. Very Venus Uranus. But then there comes a point where it's like, well, you know, not only do I not care what you think about me, but I'm going to flash you my titties. You know, so, and you may be doing things like that just to sort of lift the middle finger to what people, to people's expectations, you know? So you have to be careful, because there's almost like this desire to be, provocative and sort of flaunting of how much you don't care, which weirdly can actually tie you back into what other people think about you. So the shock value, I'm going to say and do things that are shocking, and I really don't care what other people think. I'm going to be irreverent and screw you, man. Like, you know, it's like, actually, that'll just keep the cycle going, because if you're trying to poke at people because you don't like their expectations of you, in a weird way, it'll just loop you right back in. So one thing I really don't like about Venus Uranus is the tendency to want to shock or provoke other people with your statements of freedom, or with, you know, it's like a flaunting of your rebellious or defiant choices. And that seems to perpetuate not so healthy things in people. See, I've noticed that myself. I've noticed that in clients. All right, number three, problems with impulse control. And this goes back to me over we would be an example, like when I gave the examples of affairs, you know, you're sinking the ship with bad choices, right? You know. But problems with impulse control generally, like, especially if you're someone who tends to be more pent up and controlled and it's harder to let go. Like I said earlier, like, I'm going to let loose, and how nice is that? But if you're someone who has a really hard time letting go, it's weird how when this transit comes through, it's like you'll overcompensate or you'll just swing so wildly in the opposite direction. You know, it's like someone who's like really has a hard time letting go, you know, will end up like pole dancing and passed out on someone's bathroom floor that they don't know, and, you know, feeling awful about it because it's like they didn't know how to just take a few incremental steps toward liberation, and you know, they didn't know how to experiment in like the right dose. So one thing I don't love about this transit is that it sort of loosens you up sometimes, but it'll do so sometimes like in real like extreme ways where it feels like you're being taken over. Sometimes I've heard people, you know, almost like compare it to like being struck by lightning, but the lightning is also sort of like instinctual and libidinal. It's like, so another example that comes to my mind, this is actually a great story. So one time when I lived in New York City, speaking of New York City, I went out with some friends, and, you know, we went out with this one guy who was like very, very tight-laced, or what does it say? Tight-laced, is that the phrase? He was just super like rigid, you know? And one of my friends was an instigator, a super wily coyote, someone who encouraged way more drinking and got this person hammered, basically, is what happened. So that's long story short. Got him totally wasted. And on the way home, he becomes like, I mean, first of all, I was like, oh, dude, no, this is a problem, because now it's like Jekyll and Hyde. You know, you've got like controlled ethical, moral, upstanding, you know, day job guy here. And then on the way home, he was like constantly trying to zip down his pants and just pee. And this is like, we're walking through like Union Square area. Not that like there's lots of people peeing publicly in New York, by the way. But you know what I mean? Like, this is not in these areas we were walking through, it is not okay to just like pull down your pants and pee. Maybe if we were in a back alley someplace, right? Like walking through, I don't know, some back streets where no one was there. But he had no social, like there was like no inhibitions whatsoever. And he just wanted to whip it out and pee because he had to go. And that's how wasted he got. And he was like, he kept being like, oh, I just don't care, man. Who cares what anyone thinks, you know? Like, and I always just thought, well, this is what's underneath all of that control, right? It's like there's like A for life, and there's like pissing in the streets. And like, but that's the deal with Venus Uranus, is that sometimes you have those wild extremes. Like, you're going to try to let loose, and you're going to end up, you know, going home with the creature from the Black Lagoon. So, you know, be careful. Anyway, all right, that's my spiel for today. Those are the three things that I love and three things I hate about Venus Uranus. Tried to have fun with this one today. hope you guys enjoyed it. You can find a transcript of this talk on the website, nightlightastrology.com. Don't forget to like and subscribe before you go. Tell us your stories too. If you have a fun Venus Uranus story, I would absolutely love to collect it for the Grab series. Use the hashtag Grabbed, or email us the story grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. That's what I've got for today. We have astrology of April and horoscopes coming up for April as well. So we'll see you with more on that soon. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.